from our studios in Cuenca, Spain, I'm Kate Jetmore with The Listen, exploring the subtleties of culture and compassion in every conversation. I'm thrilled to be back after a long hiatus and particularly excited to share why I've been away from the show for so many months. I've been completing my training as an ontological coach, and on season 22 of The Listen, we are focusing on just that, ontological coaching, what it is, what it's like, and why it might be for you. In episode 1 of the series, we spoke to Fiona Tucker, who led us through the basics of ontological coaching and the various elements that make it such a powerful exploratory practice. In episode 2, we spoke to Emilio Arzuaga, who was my very first coach. I really enjoyed taking an inside look at our sessions together while also comparing the dynamics of his work as a musician and his work as a coach. So I encourage you to check out those first two episodes of the series. Today, in this third and final episode, I've arranged for you to hear a sample coaching session to give you a true sense of what coaching is. I'm thrilled to welcome back Fiona Tucker, and she's joined today by a very generous volunteer coachee. I will not be interacting with them, but I'd like to give you an idea of what to expect, what you might be hearing today. As this is their first session together, you'll hear Fiona set the stage a bit at the very beginning, and then you'll hear her ask her coachee what she'd like to work on during the session. As they jump in together, you'll hear Fiona keep her coachee focused on that goal, listening actively with an eye on digging into that specific objective together. And as the session wraps up, Fiona will ask her coachee what she's learned about herself, and then she'll end by requesting some feedback. Most coaching sessions are between an hour and 1.5 hours, depending on the coachee's needs and objectives. For our purposes, today's session will be a bit shorter, but I feel certain it will give you an accurate feel for what a real session is and can be. Let's jump in.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Good,
excellent. What's the weather like there?
Well, actually, like typical Barcelona, it's lovely.
Yeah, I have to say it's beautiful here. I'm in Veneto at the moment, near Venice. So it's a beautiful day here as well. So tell me, I understand this is our first session together. So I understand that you know some things about coaching. So I'm not going to go into any in-depth, you know, kind of about what coaching is and coaching isn't. Just to say, in line with the ICF ethical guidelines, that obviously everything that we talk about in the coaching session is confidential. It won't go any further than this conversation between the two of us. Also, just to remind you that I'm going to be your taxi driver today. The journey will start where you are now, and it will end at your chosen destination. We'll work on the route that's best for you to take as we go along. And remembering always that you are the expert on your life and what you need. I'm not the expert on your life. Consequently, I'll be offering you my observations, but I won't be offering you any advice. I may also, during the journey that we're going on together, offer you some tools that might be of help to you along the way. And so what would you like to talk about today?
Okay, so, well, I gave it some thought, of course. And what I wanted to talk about is the fact that I'm always in a rush. So just to explain what I mean by that, in most contexts of my life, I tend to jump to a conclusion, jump to action. I mean, even in a simple Pilates class, while the teacher is still explaining the movements, I'm already doing it. And I wanted to talk about this because I would like to have the ability to maintain that spontaneity and sometimes even assertivity as to, yes, I know what I want to do in a certain moment in life or in a conversation. But I have the feeling that it sometimes gets me to a worse result. So basically, yeah, that's what I would like to talk about.
Okay, so if I can feed that back to you to be sure that I'm understanding you clearly. So you use the word anticipating, so that you're anticipating yourself, that you're kind of moving very, very fast. You use the example of the yoga class, that before the instructor has had time to explain the movement to you, you're already halfway into it. Would that be a correct way of looking at it?
Yeah, yeah, correct.
And that you don't want to lose this spontaneity. That you don't want to lose this, my word, not your word, this direction that you have, that you see, that you have a vision out in front of you and you go towards it. But that you sometimes think that this causes you to have a worse result than you might otherwise.
Correct. The main feeling I have is when I look back at certain decisions or even just certain conversations that I have, it's like, if I hadn't have tried to go so fast and tried to be the first one to talk, or be the one that shows people, yes, don't worry, there's a decision here to be made and here I am and I have things clear and don't worry. Like, I have the feeling that if I could avoid that, then, as I said, looking back, sometimes I would have had a wider perspective of the situation at hand, and maybe I would have taken into account different things. And of course, consequentially, then I would probably have taken perhaps a slightly different course of action, or even just an answer, as I said, in a conversation. Or yeah.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you tend to lead.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the other thing that I'm hearing in what you're saying is that you are of the idea that if you shared that leadership a little with other people, opened a conversation with them, that you might have more information, that you might find a better solution in the long term. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think it's also very much about, apart from taking into account other people's like view on a situation, it's just taking into account even my own views or ideas. Because if you jump to the first one, then you're in it. So then you're into the action and you've committed to that.
Okay.
But if I were to even manage to listen to myself a little bit more, I would probably see more options.
Okay.
And then hopefully be able to choose the more complete option.
Okay, so at the end of this time that we're going to have together, how long, what would you like to go away with from this session?
Perhaps being more conscious or more aware of when I'm doing that.
Okay.
So that I allow myself to kind of deprogram my default call of action kind of behavior.
Okay, it's interesting that you call it call to action behavior. When I say call to action behavior, what does that bring up for you?
Well, funnily enough, it reminds me of some kind of a like a conflict or a war or like a warrior that has to be on the battlefield. And
warrior on the battlefield. Is that how you feel?
Sometimes. I mean, I know this isn't therapy, but I think that if I think back, my father always uses a lot of war terminology in everyday life. and I think that somehow that's rubbed off on me. He also has always... he's always thought that speed was an accomplishment. So I guess that when I think of call to action, yeah, I feel kind of a bit like a soldier that's being requested to do something.
Okay. Okay. So you said, you know, kind of speed is an accomplishment. What does that mean for you? Speed is an accomplishment. What is the accomplishment that you achieve with speed?
I guess I demonstrate that I'm capable, that I'm the first.
Okay.
That I don't doubt myself.
Okay. So you said you're the first. The first to what?
Well, the first to, I guess, express an opinion or to show I'm there, show that I can do stuff.
Okay.
That I have the answer.
Okay. So how does being the first work with slowing down?
Well, I guess somehow it would be, I would love to maintain that idea of taking good decisions. I was about to say being the best, but then I'm afraid that that might take me in a similar direction. But in the end, behind the first, if I think about it, there is the underlying kind of assumption or idea of being the best. So,
okay.
If I have to slow down, I very simply probably have to just think that a more informed or rational or even serene decision can definitely be an excellent decision.
Okay, what are you seeing now?
You mean like what I'm envisioning in my mind right now?
What? Mm-hmm. With what you're saying to me now, vis-a-vis where we started, you know, kind of which was the anticipating, the going fast, the being the first to respond, the person who makes the biggest decision the quickest, the person who, you know, kind of in some way shows the path or, you know, kind of lays down the path. That's where we started. And what you're saying to me now, What are you seeing different to what you saw at the beginning?
Well, I'm kind of seeing the old way of Rose taking a decision as a little bit superficial, perhaps, or even short-term or even short-sighted. So I'm envisioning that there is the possibility of taking good decisions, maybe even better decisions, thanks to this slowing down. And what I'm especially envisioning is that these decisions then are better in the long run, or they're more complete or richer of different views and opinions. So they include more things than the fastest and quickest decision, perhaps.
Okay. You talked about call to action, and call to action as being the warrior on the battlefield, in the thick of the battle. Is that a good place to make decisions, or is there, you know, kind of, how would you see that?
Well, no, not really. It's very noisy. It's very chaotic. Very often, it's about life and death. I guess, of course, I've never been on the battlefield, but I'm imagining it as a split second decision, life or death kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And since I'm not in that kind of situation or context, there's no need for me to put myself into a position where I'm taking decisions in such of a chaotic, rushed, sometimes maybe even emotional moment.
Okay. So is there a way that you can see yourself taking decisions in a different way?
I can, but I have this feeling that I'm going to be giving up something.
What are you going to be giving up?
Well, I still have this idea in my mind sometimes that if you're the first to respond or the first to come up with an answer or the first to come up with an action, somehow you're demonstrating your ability.
Okay. So let's look if do you want to play with me for a minute?
Sure.
Okay. So let's imagine that you're in this situation. So, you know, kind of you're in a meeting or you're on a Zoom call or whatever, and something comes up for discussion. How could you be in the discussion without going to action in that way that you call, you know, kind of anticipating?
Well, I'd have to definitely shift the focus off myself and the result that I personally want to achieve. Like, if I think of it in a Zoom call with well, more than myself, so two or more people, if I think of it more as like a group effort or group result, then obviously having reflected on wanting to take into account different perspectives, then somehow if I'm working with a group of people or having a conversation, I'm getting a bit stuck here. I mean, I know that it's enriching and I know that the result is not about just me and that the result could be better in a group. I just have difficulty in finding the way to like silence my brain for a moment and really be aware and just listening to other people and not trying to find a solution.
Okay. And is there a way that you can find that solution with other people?
Oh, definitely. I mean,
How could you do that in the group?
Well, if in a certain conversation there's, let's say, a goal or a result that we want to achieve, then just simply thinking that that result will be richer if we're working as a group of people with all different perspectives, and that it's not my result, it's not my conversation.
Okay, and how does that make you feel, the idea of doing that?
Maybe even a little bit insecure, because I think that part of my abilities right now or worth are determined by this fast reaction, fast solution. And because I actually believe it, or because I communicate or express it in a certain way, then all of my experience has been based on being rewarded for that. So it makes me feel insecure, because I would be leaving what has very often in the past given me good reputation or helped me accomplish things, being seen well in the eyes of others.
Okay, what's coming to me now listening to you is that, you know, kind of there are two things that are coming to me. One is you're talking about, you know, kind of achieving the result, coming up with the answer. And the other thing is, in some way, the way that you get there. Earlier in the conversation, when we were talking about the objective, you said that you believe sometimes that if you could slow down, you would actually take a better decision. So how can you slow down? Let me rephrase that. How can you slow down and still go to action?
I think in the way I see it is, I have a very short, short-term kind of way of behaving. And I would like to shift that onto a more solid, long-term way of behaving. So,
can you, okay, what, how do you see that short-term, long-term way of behaving?
Well, short-term is kind of like if I take lots of little decisions, whether they're right or wrong, because then I can just correct them. Like that kind of fast, but lots of decisions is building my long-term, but it's building it randomly.
Okay.
Whereas if each short-term decision is slightly more reasoned, maybe it helps build a more solid long-term vision. That can be, when I'm saying long-term, it can be just simply the outcome of a one-hour call. It doesn't have to be the long-term project of a lifetime.
Okay. So when you talk about going to action, is that about activity versus passivity?
Yeah.
So you feel if you slow down, you're being passive? Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. And now that you say a word like that, for me, passive is definitely a word that I would flee from.
Okay. So how about if we take the word passive, and rather than being passive, we put a word like moderation. What does that bring up for you?
Yeah. I think also now that you were saying passive, I was also thinking of conscious.
Okay. So going back to the awareness that you were looking for at the beginning, is that the conscious? Is that the awareness of?
Yeah. Because if I think of how I answer in a conversation, I kind of improvise. Like if I had to explain to somebody afterwards what I thought, I wouldn't be able to. And I would love to be able to explain more rationally why I said what I said or why I suggested a certain action.
Could I offer you a tool, a possible tool that might be helpful?
Sure.
Okay, in ontological coaching, we talk about distinctions. Distinctions are how I use something or how I see something in a way that brings me to action, which it can be limiting me or it can be opening possibilities for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the distinctions that we talk about in ontological coaching are a thing called speech acts. Speech acts are what we're doing when we're talking. Okay. So the idea is that whenever we're speaking, we are in action. And that listening is also an action. So that when we're listening, we're not passive. We're actually in an active phase where we are considering what we're hearing in order for us then to be able to make an offer to the other people that we're talking with around what our ideas are or what we might see as a possible solution. How does that strike you?
Well, actually, that's very interesting because as you were explaining it, I was kind of understanding that you would go to listening as definitely also an action. And to be honest, it just makes me feel kind of like relaxed. It's like, oh, absolutely. I am doing all the time. As long as I am connected to the conversation, I am active. I'm not being passive. Passive in that kind of negative way. I'm imagining it in my brain. That's what I mean.
Of course. Yeah. So, and this idea of making an offer of your ideas or your solutions, how does that strike you?
Yeah, I think there's like, it's kind of like a bouncing between different kind of actions. So speaking and listening and speaking and listening. And the way you're saying it now, like I see the possibility of constantly being in action, just a different kind of action. And when I take on the action of speaking, that's also not necessarily definitive, as in then I can listen to what the other person is saying back, and I can also adjust what I said. It doesn't have to be that what I say stays forever and ever. Like, I could rectify or include other people's speaking or other people's, let's say, ideas, which is maybe another part that sometimes has perhaps bothered me or prevented me from listening more. Maybe I kind of felt that once I've said something, I mean, I commit to that. So I have like a high level of commitment, and reliability for me is important. So it's almost as if, like, if I've said something, then I should stick to that.
Okay, and how does that change if it's an offer that you're making to other people?
Well, I guess if it's an offer, then I have to see if the other person also wants to accept that offer before there's a actual commitment.
Okay.
So it's not just me verbalizing something that commits me to something. That's actually very useful, because I feel that if I've said something to somebody, whether it be in a conversation or in a text message or whatever, even if they didn't say, oh yes, that would be great, I feel that since I said it, I have to do it.
Okay, how do you feel about that now?
Well, it's I feel quite relieved. What I'm thinking now is also it might free up a bit of my time, mental time, even in my agenda, because I'm kind of like self-committing to many things. And maybe there was never really clear offer or acceptance of my offer.
Okay.
So maybe if also I kind of clear up a little bit of mental space or time, I can just kind of like be, think a little bit. And even if I don't come to a conclusion, it doesn't matter. Nobody's pressuring me to come to a conclusion with every single thought that I'm having.
How do you think this will help your decision-making process?
I think it'll definitely help me, well, as I said before, be more conscious, I think. I think having had this conversation, I will be more conscious of whether I am actively listening, for example, or whether I am offering something or just simply saying something and taking that as a commitment. So it's a lot about a lot more exchange rather than me kind of, well, again, a wartime, like forcing myself on people in the world. Nobody asked me to do that.
Okay. So you can make an offer rather than force yourself on people. And you talked about the short term, long term kind of, how does it help that? Or does it help that?
Well, I think what it helps is that, I don't know if this is correct, but what I'm understanding is like when you're speaking, it's an action. When you're listening is an action. But I assume that also when you're neither speaking nor listening, there are kind of actions going on in your brain. And I think that that space, which is neither actively speaking nor actively listening to somebody else, is an active listening to myself. And like now I'm starting to see a possibility where I can reflect a little bit longer on what I actually want that long term to be, so that I kind of have it like a baseline in my mind.
Okay.
Rather than adapting to what's thrown at me or what I throw at myself by just simply jumping into an action.
Excellent. So from where we started, where you were rushing into things, where you were anticipating, where you were choosing the direction, you had, and you said you had to be the first one to be make the decision, the first one to come up with the idea. And what you wanted to achieve was a greater awareness around that situation, so that you could be more considered. How do you think we are vis-a-vis your objective for today?
Well, I think we're definitely closer. There's something else in my mind that, as we speak, which is the constant need to somehow have things planned out. So I think that I really want to have kind of like a long-term vision of things. But then I don't really stop to reflect, or maybe I don't take into consideration enough what other people say, or maybe even I don't look for enough information to then take long-term decisions. So to kind of compensate that lack of having just reflected, not having written anything or signed anything, but just reflected, I kind of have this constant need to have everything planned out.
Okay.
So my typical activity on a Sunday will be to look what I'm going to do in the week and have everything in my agenda and like super scheduled. And So I'm kind of tricking myself as in, oh yeah, that's long-term planning.
Okay. Can I offer you something that's occurred to me?
Sure.
Okay. That, you know, using the analogy that you said about, you know, kind of that you use a lot coming from your dad, kind of the war, the battle analogies, I'd like to offer you two words, two distinctions, and that is strategy and tactics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I had a conversation once in my previous job about being more strategic and less tactical. So it's interesting that you bring it up, because it was some feedback that had been offered to me to try and shift more to the strategic and...
Okay. So if we talk about the passive and active, the going to action...
Good tactical actions.
In order to have good tactics, what should be behind good tactics?
Well, a good strategy.
A good strategy. How do you think that will play out in what we're talking about?
Well, actually, it's interesting because now I'm thinking of being active as kind of very tactical. And it could even be tactical outside of a strategy. So I don't even know if that's considered tactical. And the passive could actually play very well with the strategic. Mm-hmm. If we're speaking about passive
action
for certain moments... in a conversation, not passive as in forever and ever, of course.
Well, it's as you said earlier, it's passive action.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. So what's missing for you now?
Practice. Yes.
Practice. Okay. So you can see yourself being aware, which is what you were looking for, and you need to practice. How are you going to practice this?
Well, I think to start with, I have a few, conversations and meetings coming up in the next couple of days. And I will definitely reflect on these distinctions before I go in. I might lose sight of this conversation that we just had when we're in the thick of the meeting. But then I think what would be useful for me is to kind of have a mental wrap up at the end with myself to see in which moments I was in this active passivity, let's say, or active listening. Because I think what would be useful for me is to see that in action in a real life scenario or real life meeting, and see kind of like a success story.
Okay. Would feedback from others be helpful?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so do you have anybody who could be your accountability buddy that you could explain your journey to them and ask them to give you feedback?
I could definitely ask my partner. Mm-hmm. We have to come up with a lot of decisions regarding our child. So it's not work context necessarily, but definitely it's anyhow coming up with decisions. So it's mm-hmm. an environment and context that, where I think he could help me flag certain situations. And yeah.
Okay. Is that something you'd like to do?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Just going back a minute, when we talk about the strategic and the tactical, and you talked about planning your week, that, you know, planning the week is falls into the strategy. It's a strategic action. What do we need in order to be able to be mentally aware? What do you think you might need in order to maintain that? The word that comes to me, and you can correct me if it doesn't mean anything to you, the word that comes to me is flexibility.
Yeah, well, when you say flexibility, I think that what I need is flexibility with the things that pop up that are not planned. Because at the moment, what happens is I plan out a week, but then I kind of improvise and shift things around all the time. So I've spent all this time planning, but then I'm uber flexible with the things that perhaps are part of a strategy and should stay fixed. So when you say flexibility, I think, yes, I should be flexible, but with the things that pop up, but that also have a certain kind of flexibility to them. So if somebody calls me because it's their birthday and they're like, oh, I would really like to meet up with you today, if that was not on the schedule and there are other more, let's say, important things that were planned, not move around my whole schedule for that, because I can probably meet with that person or with that request in a slightly different way, because if not, I'm also kind of always putting in front of the people. Mm-hmm. So I would say flexibility, but also stick to the plan.
Okay. How are you feeling now?
Well, I'm feeling excited to try it out this week. Definitely.
Excellent.
I'm feeling a bit calmer, because for me it was very important to understand this action within not speaking or not coming up with an action. No action, I guess, is an action in itself. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely a lot calmer.
Okay. What do you think you've learned about yourself, about the world, in this session?
Well, I've learned that as I verbalized it, that I'm a committed person, that I'm a reliable person, I've learned that I like that, but that there are different ways of maintaining that. So the being the first or being the one that comes up with the action doesn't make me necessarily more reliable. And that the best action or the best conversation might be one at a slower pace, but that includes more factors, or that takes into account a longer term vision, or that has a more solid outcome in the end, mm-hmm. rather than just like that chaotic image that you shared with me of a battlefield.
Okay. So what do you think you might do if you find yourself in the thick of the battle and get the uncomfortable feeling that awareness can bring? What do you think you might do?
Well, I think, again, that the distinction of strategy and tactics is also very useful, because if I can, in that moment, distinguish whether that's a decision or a conversation that really is going to take a turn of events for the strategy, well, then I might go into the action. But if I can have that awareness of this is just a conversation, or if I think about this action, the actual long-term goal will have a better result, will end up better, then I think I will be able to just take a breath and not just jump into the action.
What kind of mood do you think, emotion mood, do you think you'll need to move into in order to help you to make this happen?
Well, I'd say that I'm very often in a, how I describe it, energetic, excited mood. However, perhaps that is a slightly agitated and sometimes even aggressive mood. So if I could shift into a more harmonious, more relaxed but active at the same time kind of mood.
Okay. Do you know? Do you
that
know,
would help me.
Okay. Do you know that mood? Can you think of a time when you felt that way?
Well, not very often, but not very often actually.
Okay. Even once.
Well, perhaps in my personal sphere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's happened a few times, perhaps in the last few weeks. Again, taking decisions regarding my son, so perhaps in that case I am more able to really think, oh my goodness, here there's like a lot at stake, so just take a step back and think.
Okay. So how would you identify that mood? What would you call it?
I feel very responsible in that moment.
Responsible.
Yeah.
So how would feeling responsible help you in your practice next week?
Well, funnily enough, I think it will help me, but kind of in the opposite way of how it helps me in my private sphere. So in my private sphere, definitely between my partner and myself, the responsibility is ours. And that's, well, a fact. But in a professional scenario, the responsibility is shared. So thinking of responsibility, but shared responsibility will definitely help me take it down a notch and be like, okay, everybody's equally responsible here for the positive outcome of this conversation or of this meeting. So I think thinking of responsibility, but that it's not just always my responsibility, will definitely help.
Okay. If I can offer you a distinction, would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay, in ontological coaching, we have a distinction which we called responsibility 100%. And our idea is that each one of us has 100% responsibility, even in a shared responsibility situation, for what we do and who we are and what we bring to the table. So we need to maintain our 100% responsibility. However, if we take on 120% of the responsibility or 150% of the responsibility, then we are depriving somebody else of their 100% responsibility. So if we rush in to solve, if we rush in to make decisions, we are depriving somebody else of their possibility to be responsible and to grow.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is that of any value to you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And sometimes I might take it even as far as to say, I'm perhaps not even doing my 100%, but I'm already taking on 50% of somebody else.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So having this in mind, will that help you next week? Can that help you next week in what you're about to do? Or how can it help you?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And it sounds like, what it sounds to me is also more generous, mm-hmm. which is a word that I like. Like, I think that it's a lot more generous to actually let everybody have their own responsibility and space rather than me with a fake generosity trying to solve everybody's lives.
Yeah, we as a distinction, we actually call that genericide. That we're so generous that we don't leave any space for other people to offer. Excellent. Wonderful. So going back to our objective for today, which was that you would go away with a greater awareness, how are you?
Oh, I definitely think that there's a lot of very concrete distinctions that we spoke about that will help me anchor my thoughts a little bit and stop, but know why I'm stopping. As in, okay, I know what I'm doing, but I also know what I would like to achieve. So things like, for example, the 100% responsibility. I love numbers. So for me, just being able to grab onto a number and say, okay, are you doing your 100% or are you doing 150? That's going to be like really useful. And yeah, and again, and the active and passive and speaking versus listening, all being actions, that's already very helpful. So I'm much more aware than when I started.
Okay. Do you think this would be a good place for us to finish our session today?
Yeah. Lots to think about.
How would you like to wrap up this session?
Well, I mean, apart from the obvious thank you very much, because in a very short period of time, you've given me a lot of food for thought. I'd like to wrap up. You see, I'm already not feeling rushed. The Rosella of 30 minutes ago would have rushed to a conclusion and to a feedback. And now I'm actually consciously aware of, yeah. I just like to wrap up saying that I found especially the distinctions very, very useful. And I am right now mentally committing to myself to observe this week and to speak to the Rosella of 1 week from now and have seen some kind of progress in this context.
Excellent. Okay, is there any kind of feedback you'd like to give me? Was there anything I could have done differently, asked a different kind of question that might have accelerated your process or helped you in a deeper way?
No, I there was a certain moment where I was assuming that perhaps we would go more into why I developed this mindset. But then I realized that the questions that you were asking me were actually directing me forward. So this isn't something that I would say should have been done that differently. It's more kind of like an observation that I figured out quite quickly that looking back at why I'm programmed like that maybe doesn't make that much sense. But that's not really feedback. So no, I mean, the feedback I can say, I felt super comfortable. I think that everything you shared was very much on point, very much hitting the spot. And it was interesting also that you played a bit with what emotions are you feeling, because perhaps I was thinking of this as something more kind of like action driven, and I assume that actions always are combined with emotions. So no.
Well, you know what we say, that emotion is energy in motion. So all emotions are actions.
So
yeah, they're the bedrock of our behavior.
Well, it was very useful that you combined.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very, very much for the session today. Thank you for being with us. And obviously, you know, kind of if you would like to continue with this or if you'd like to have another session, there's no problem. We can do that. And,
I'm excited.
See what happens to you next week. And then you can see where you want to go.
Thank
from
you
there.
So much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rose. Thank you.
This concludes our season 22 series on coaching. I want to thank Fiona Tucker, Emilio Arzuaga, and our guest coachee for their generous contributions. If you enjoyed this series and you're interested in scheduling a coaching session with me, I hope you'll get in touch. Please reach out to me through our website at thelistenpodcast.com. I want to thank Lucas Munoz Jetmore, who makes sure the show is ready to go each week. I'm Kate Jetmore, and this is The Listen.